Thank you, Bob. It's always good to hear you play and to hear you sing as well. Before the message today, I would like to just recite the Apostles' Creed as we set our hearts to hear God's word in just a little bit here. But the Apostles' Creed says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today's message, it comes to us from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 37. I'd like to read that for you today, just to kind of give you the flow of what is said here in John chapter 11. And if you have your Bibles, that even makes it that much better if you take your Bibles and turn to that portion of Scripture as well. John 11, verses 17 through 37. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, and Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" That is our text that we're looking at here this morning. And the title of the message today that I give to you is called Expressing Comfort in Times of Loss. So if somebody's saying, like, "I thought this was Palm Sunday," I'd say, yep,
You're right, and I know that this is not your typical Palm Sunday passage, because usually you think of Palm Sunday, you think of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he's riding on a donkey, and they're waving palm branches, and the people are shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And that's typically what we focus on a Palm Sunday, but I'm kind of in this chapter 11 of John, and there's a lot of things that I find here that are very good and appropriate for us, even as we look forward to Easter, which is a week from today. Our text today takes us to a town called Bethany, and it's just a small town southeast of Jerusalem, and it's the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Now, Jesus more than likely has been at this home a number of times. He's very good friends with this family, with Martha and Mary and with Lazarus. And Lazarus had gotten sick, and the sisters were concerned about their brother, and they sent word to Jesus for him to come and to let him know of how sick that he was. In the meantime, Jesus did not come for a couple of days later, and by the time he gets to Bethany, the funeral is already over with, and Lazarus has been buried in the cemetery as well. And so Martha and Mary tell Jesus when he comes that their brother Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Now, I know Jesus is all aware of these kinds of things. But there's three things I want to just impress upon everyone here that's listening in or watching here today. It's these are the three things that, you know, when it comes to someone dying, personal visits bring comfort. That's the first one. The second one is that personal contact is important. And the last one is that death brings emotions to the surface in our lives. And so going back to point number one, personal visits bring comfort. We see in our text here today that it says that many Jews came to comfort Mary and Martha in the loss of their brother Lazarus. You know, and this is what's been so difficult in times, even like today, when we hear of people who have died and there is a funeral that many of us can't go and attend, because the funerals are limited to 10 people or less. And we know that a lot of times families are larger than just 10. So in visiting with the funeral directors in the Milford and the Great Lakes area here, that some of them say that they just have a graveside service to begin with, and that's really all it is. Because you're outside and people can stand further apart, that there's just a graveside service, and then that's everybody kind of goes home. There's not even a lunch that follows or anything like that, because you have to watch who you are visiting. You can't touch, you can't hug, you can't shake hands. You know, and that's really not our character, is it? You know, that's just the way we are here in Iowa, is like we like to show people and convey to them that we really care about them, and we do that by touch in a lot of ways. And here we find that we can't have any contact with like family like we normally have done in the past because of the coronavirus that is kind of going across the world. And even if our neighbors come, I mean, now the neighbors can't come, friends can't come. And it's just really a difficult time for those of you that have lost someone recently. And so our hearts go out to you, and we kind of understand and know how difficult it must be that when someone who you love very close, and you've got friends and neighbors that can't even come by, or if they do, they might put a casserole out by your door and say, "Well, we dropped it off. You know, we just wanted to do something," or send a card or a phone call. That's about all we can do as far as closeness that it can be at this time. But, you know, personal visits bring a lot of comfort. We find that in our scripture today with Mary and Martha. The Jews, many of them came, so we know that they were well-liked. They had a lot of relationships with a lot of people in the town and in the area, and people kind of flocked to their house
to bring comfort to them as they heard that their brother has passed away. Point number two is personal contact is important. We find that when Martha heard that Jesus was on his way and he hadn't even made it into the village of Bethany yet, it's just like Martha, she takes off. She's kind of got the gift of hospitality, and she's just involved in doing things. And so she runs out to find Jesus, and she begins to talk with him. And Mary stays at home, and that's typical of Mary. She kind of stays there because there are mourners who have come to bring comfort. And she will sit in the house, as that's really the way that they would receive those who would come to comfort them, is the one who's lost someone would sit and just hear what people came to want to say to them during this time of loss. And so that's where we find Mary. But we know that everyone deals with death in their own way. And for Martha, when she saw Jesus, she said, "Lord." And we really find that both Mary and Martha say the exact same thing to Jesus when they talk to him. They said, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." Now, sometimes we want to think that they're kind of upset with him because he didn't come right away. Well, really, that's really not what's conveyed in this portion of Scripture. What Martha says is very much a faith that she has in Jesus. She's very much in tune with her faith. And she knows that Jesus can do anything. But she just kind of makes the point, and so we know that Martha and Mary had talked quite a bit together over the past few days before Jesus got there, and they were thinking about Jesus and talking about him, said, you know, if only he would have come, you know, Lazarus probably would not have died. Well, Jesus got something much bigger in store and planned for these sisters, as we shall see really next Sunday. Of course, you can read ahead, and you'll know by then what I'm talking about. We find that Martha says to Jesus in response, she said that, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection day, you know, in the future." She's thinking of in the future. But Jesus says something very profound here. And it's good words for us as well. Because Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Now, really, he's talking about Lazarus right there, her brother. He's died, but yet he still lives. And then he says, "And whoever lives, as Martha is living and Mary, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha answers Jesus by saying, "I believe that you are the Christ," or the Messiah. She's already called him Lord, and she also calls him the Son of God. Those are three titles that she gives to Jesus, so we know that her faith in him is one that is very secure and strong and relies on him. And so we find that with Martha, that's kind of what goes on between her and Jesus. And now Martha leaves Jesus to go get Mary and tells Mary that the rabbi, the teacher, wants to see you. So Mary gets up quite quickly, and those who came to see her see that she gets up fast and out of the house, and they follow her. And so when Mary finds Jesus, she goes to him, and Jesus asks Mary the question, "Where have you laid him?" And of course, Mary's just said, you know, "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." But he just says, "Where have you laid Lazarus?" And Lazarus is a very good friend of Jesus as well. So those that came with Mary, Jesus notices that they are crying. And in that day when Jesus lived, they would have mourners that would come when there was someone who would die. And sometimes they were paid to come and mourn. They're supposed to, and how they did that, they would wail out loud. It was quite a commotion. And we know when we see anything on TV in the Middle East, we find that there's a lot more emotions that go on with people today in the Middle East than what there is in America, especially those of us that come from a German background or a Norwegian background. We kind of keep things more to ourselves.
But here we find that Mary is weeping and is crying, and those that came with her, the Jews, are also weeping and crying. And it says that when Mary came, she fell at Jesus' feet. She's kind of showing how she's really sad. She's going through a difficult time and realizing that someone she was very close to, her brother, has died. And so we see these emotions that are coming to the surface. It says here that Jesus himself, when it's with Mary and the Jews that followed her, that says that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit, and he was troubled. And we have the shortest verse in the Bible, the New Testament. It says then that Jesus wept. Sometimes we ask kids, they have to memorize a Bible verse. Some will say, like, well, that's the one I want. It's just two words, Jesus wept. They go like, that doesn't count. You gotta get something else. But we find here that when Jesus wept, and it only says this once in here in the New Testament in the Greek, that the way that he wept is one whereby it was done quietly. He showed it by the shaking of his body, and it was different than the way that those around him were expressing their grief and their sorrow, because they were more outwardly, and it was very loud. But Jesus, he is kind of, body is shaking, he is crying, he's got tears also coming down his face. And it kind of shows us his humanity as well. And he's really relating, and for him to also to be able to see what death and the consequences of sin, what it does to us in our lives, that he can relate to us where we're at here today as well. So our grief is also viewed by others. You know, we find that some of the Jews said, you know, they just said, see how much that he loved Lazarus. He showed it by the way that he was also weeping in his death. And yet there was others that were there that didn't quite see it the same way. There were some who said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So there's some there that are with skepticism and probably blaming Jesus for not coming sooner, or they were hoping he'd see something great, and nothing took place. So they're kind of getting down on Jesus and all of that. So I just want to conclude this message by saying that there's a lot of things that are going on in this passage. There's grieving, there's sorrow, there's tears, there's broken hearts, and there's just a lot of hurt that takes place. And if you've had someone who has died that's been close to you, you can understand all of these emotions, because more than likely you have had them as well. There are people who've wanted to comfort Mary and Martha. And so there were words that were spoken to them. There were probably more likely hugs that were given, food that came over to help them during this time of loss, because you don't really have an appetite when someone dies, and yet you know they're going to be hungry somewhere along the way. But there's lots of acts of kindness that people express during a time of a loss of a loved one. So there's caring hearts that are present. And of course, there's some people who just don't have any words to say, and they like to be off by themselves, or they don't really say anything even in a crowd, and they just sit there and cry and just kind of think of the things that have taken place and that are going on, and that's okay. But we find here that Jesus gives words of hope, and this is really what I want you to hang on to today and to listen to. It's when Jesus tells to Martha, your brother will rise again. And here you have Jesus who makes the claim to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And he's saying this just directly to Martha. And that's just the question that I want to leave with you today as well, or even to ask you personally. I've heard people say about heaven in regards to themselves, and saying, you know, we have a lot to look forward to, And I said, are you going to heaven? I've heard people say to me, well, I hope so, but I'm really not sure. I've even had others who have said that really no one can know for sure. Can they? And I tell them that absolutely you can know for sure. Because what did Jesus ask Martha? He wanted her to believe in what he was saying to her. And these are good words that we find that it's oftentimes spoken out at the graveside or even at the during the funeral service itself is a way of pastors telling the people who are going through loss and grief that these are words that we can trust in. And so Jesus wants Martha to know with certainty that her faith in his words is really all that she needs. Eternal life is a gift. And Jesus gives that gift of eternal life as we believe by faith and trust in his words and who he is. He wants us to know that eternal life is a possession that is given to us in the present day as well as a hope we have in the future. And so Jesus wants you, my friends, to know that you are going to heaven where you can say, he doesn't want you to say, well, I hope so, or I think so. But Jesus wants you to be able to say, without a shadow of a doubt, I know so. I know that I'll go to heaven when my time is up here on earth, and that I have eternal life even today because of Jesus. I'm trusting in him. So that's what I leave with you, my friends, that you may know that you have eternal life with Jesus Christ, as he conveyed to Martha and Mary on the day when they lost Lazarus. And so stay tuned for Easter Sunday as we hear about the resurrection. Not only are we going to see what happens to Lazarus, because it'll go boom, it will just really blow your mind, and it had to do the same thing with those that were there, because after 4 days, everyone knows that he is not going to come back to life. But Jesus has a real surprise in store, just as we hear of a great surprise that we celebrate on the resurrection day, known as Easter, that we'll celebrate next week as well. So hope you come back and listen to the rest of the message dealing with Lazarus, as well as also as we look at the great, wonderful thing that took place, known as the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well next week. So Bob, why don't you come and share another song with us, and I'll be back after he is done playing the song and singing it, which is the name of the Lord. And I'll come back and have a word of prayer with everyone as well before we leave. Go ahead, Bob. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. We're always great to be able to hear you play for us. Before I close in prayer, just want to remind you that once the service is over with, if you wanted to unmute your device and join in on a little time of fellowship, which oftentimes is just good to see one another's face and we just kind of greet each other in this Zoom into your room here, you can do that once we finish our time together here this morning. But I'd just like for us to pray together before we leave. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word that you give to us. And Lord, when we know that we have Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord, that we face death in a different way than those who don't know Christ. Our Lord, our prayer today is for those that are dealing with loss in a way that maybe they never expected. And even if it was expected, you can never prepare yourself fully for it. And so, Lord, my thoughts and my heart goes out to those, and we as a church, we think of those that have lost loved ones here as of late, and to realize that it's not normal in the things we want to do, we can't do these days because of the virus that we keep hearing about. And Lord, we just pray that for those that are going through loss or difficult time, that they know that Jesus is always with them and Jesus will hear their prayer regardless of what it's about, and that he is there with them. He is our hope. Without him, Lord, there is no hope. But with him, we have all that we need. And so we thank you for his presence in our lives and that he understands all the things that we go through and are experiencing even during this time of not being able to function the way we normally function. And so, Lord, be with our friends today that are going through hard times. And we just pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the benediction today is, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and to give you peace. Amen. Go now and serve the Lord the best that you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, Opa.
Hey, hi, Oliver and Ainsley.
Good morning, Pastor.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, everybody.
I'll take everybody out to Perkins for dinner today.
So, Bob Evans.
Hey. Your mashed potatoes there, Chuck. yeah, this is really something that we just can't be together. It just shows how much more it's going to mean to us when we can come together and see each other in person. There's no doubt about that. So,
thank you for the sermon today. We just got notice we lost a friend in Spencer.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it was cancer, so.
Yeah.
Shirley's niece did die yesterday.
Oh, she did?
She did.
Oh, man. She has seen a lot of death in her family.
Wow. And she has a house of sorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for letting us know that about Shirley. Well, you all have a great day today. I don't.
Everybody stay strong and safe.
Yep. Yeah. I agree.
I have a question. I thought we would have everybody today.
What?
I thought we would have communion today.
Not today. No. Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yeah, you'll have to kind of get those things together yourself.
Okay.
You know, just let you know.
Last week I can see everybody.
A week ahead of time.
Get your wine ready, Nancy.
I will. Thank you all for making this. I can do it.
Okay, I'm gonna go off. I'm gonna go off the air.
Bye.
Blessings on you.
Bye.
That seemed, I mean,